The trial of the men accused of murdering Ahmaud Arbery will hear closing arguments on Monday. Travis McMichael, his father Greg, and William Roddy Bryan, who are white, chased the 25-year-old black man in trucks last year as Arbery was running through their Georgia neighborhood. Travis McMichael shot and killed Arbery after the two men struggled in the street. He testified this week, telling prosecutor Linda Dunikoski that Arbery was unarmed.
Didn't pull out any guns.
No, ma'am.
Didn't pull out any knife.
No, ma'am.
Never reached for anything, did he?
No.
He just ran.
Yes, he was just running.
WABE's Lisa Hagen joins us now with the latest on this case. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Scott.
Now, we just heard Travis McMichael on the stand. He said he suspected a burglary in the neighborhood and that he eventually shot Ahmaud Arbery with a shotgun in self-defense. What more did we learn about his defense when he was on the stand?
So the story he told was about living in a neighborhood with lots of reports of property crime. Purses stolen out of cars, car break-ins, etc. Travis himself had had a pistol stolen out of his truck. And his defense attorney also walked him through talking about the training Travis had received while serving in the Coast Guard. He was a trainer for boarding officers, so was able to talk a lot about law enforcement concepts like probable cause, de-escalation techniques, and use of force ideas. So on the day he's accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery, he said he was trying to put his young son down for a nap and that his dad, Greg McMichael, had started shouting that the guy is here and to get his gun. Travis says he had seen Ahmaud in the neighborhood weeks earlier and claims he saw him reach for his waistband, which Travis says he took as a sign that Arbery could have been armed. So both father and son grab guns, head out in their truck, and Travis says he was only ever trying to identify and keep an eye on Ahmaud until police arrived. He said he thought his father had called 911, which turned out not to be true. And basically, Travis said he'd tried to calmly ask Ahmaud what was going on and to stop, but that Ahmaud didn't respond. And eventually, Travis gets out of his truck. He says he grabs his shotgun and points it at Ahmaud as a de-escalation tactic and says once Ahmaud starts to tussle with him, he felt he had no choice but to fire for fear that Ahmaud might otherwise take the shotgun from him. And by that point, Travis was very emotional, wiping tears and saying it was the most traumatic moment of his life.
Yeah, and what happened upon cross-examination? I understand some of Travis McMichael's social media posts were brought up.
Yeah, so we heard a lot about a neighborhood Facebook page where residents would share stories about alleged crimes in the area. And the prosecution zeroed in on responses Travis McMichael had written on some of those posts, like, quote, playing with fire on this side of the neighborhood, and, quote, I hope they catch the vermin. So the state also circled back to Travis's Coast Guard training and the fact that he would have known about the Fifth Amendment and the fact that they didn't have any real evidence Ahmaud Arbery had committed a crime and that Ahmaud Arbery was in no way required to stop and answer questions. The prosecutor also talked him through his decision to get out of the car instead of just following behind or, of course, not having left his house armed in the first place. And that's really been at the heart of the prosecution's argument that the McMichaels and their neighbor, Roddy Bryan, made a series of choices that day, all based on the worst possible assumptions about Ahmaud Arbery.
Now, there was controversy in the courtroom over the attendance of black pastors. One of the lawyers for the defense tried to get them banned from the courtroom, saying they could influence the jury, and that prompted more than 100 black pastors to gather outside of the courthouse yesterday. We have a little bit of sound from Wanda Cooper-Jones, Arbery's mother.
I just want to say thank you. My heart is full of just joy in the midst of this broken heart.
Lisa, you've been in touch with family members. What more did you learn about their argument, about their emotions now?
Yeah, I've had a few quiet exchanges with Wanda during breaks in the trial, and she's told me about how hard it's been, of course, losing her son and having to sit through this really brutal evidence of testimony in the trial.
Yeah.
But also moments when she's felt like she hasn't been able to get enough public attention on her son's death, like moments when media attention has died down. I think Ahmaud's family has felt a lot of their share of isolation through this process. And in public, she's talked about the very early days when no arrests had been made months, of course, and she really didn't have any information about what had happened. So to see her surrounded by all these Black faith leaders and civil rights icons from across the country expressing their support is just such a shift from those darker times, to the point where she used the word joy, which I don't think you'd expect in these circumstances.
Yeah. Now, closing arguments Monday. We have a little bit less than a minute now. What are the key arguments that the members of the jury will be arguing? We'll be weighing.
We've heard so much from the defense about the atmosphere in the neighborhood, which they've described as on edge because of perceptions of crime. And their big argument has been that Greg and Travis McMichael argued that day or acted that day out of a sense of duty to their community.
Okay.
The prosecution is likely to focus on all the moments of the decision that the defendants made to involve themselves in something that could have been left to police.
All right. That is WABE's Lisa Hagen. Lisa, thank you.
Thank you.